Chapter 8 of the History of the Resurrection. The history of the resurrection of Christ is a part of the evidence of Christianity, but I do not know whether the proper strength of this passage of the Christian history, or wherein its peculiar value as a head of evidence consists, be generally understood. It is not that, as a miracle, the resurrection ought to be accounted a more decisive proof of supernatural agency than other miracles are. It is not that, as it stands in the Gospels, it is better attested than some others. It is not, for either of these reasons, that more weight belongs to it than to other miracles, but for the following, viz. That it is completely certain that the apostles of Christ and the first teachers of Christianity asserted the fact. And this would have been certain if the four Gospels had been lost or never written. Every piece of Scripture recognizes the resurrection. Every epistle of every apostle, every author contemporary with the apostles, of the age immediately succeeding the apostles, every writing from that age to the present, genuine or spurious, on the side of Christianity or against it, concur in representing the resurrection of Christ as an article of his history, received without doubt or disagreement by all who called themselves Christians, as alleged from the beginning by the propagators of the institution, and alleged as the center of their testimony. Nothing, I apprehend, which a man does not himself see or hear, can be more certain to him than this point. I do not mean that nothing can be more certain than that Christ rose from the dead, but that nothing can be more certain than that his apostles and the first teachers of Christianity gave out that he did so. In the other parts of the gospel narrative, a question may be made, whether the things related of Christ be the very things which the apostles and first teachers of the religion delivered concerning him? And this question depends a good deal upon the evidence we possess of the genuineness, or rather perhaps of the antiquity, credit, and reception of the books. On the subject of the resurrection, no such discussion is necessary, because no such doubt can be entertained. The only points which can enter into our consideration are, whether the apostles knowingly published a falsehood, or whether they were themselves deceived, whether either of these suppositions be possible. The first, I think, is pretty generally given up, the nature of the undertaking and of the men, the extreme unlikelihood that such men should engage in such a measure as a scheme, their personal toils and dangers and sufferings in the cause, their appropriation of their whole time to the object, the warm and seemingly unaffected zeal and earnestness with which they profess their sincerity exempt their memory from the suspicion of imposture. The solution more deserving of notice is that which would resolve the conduct of the apostles into enthusiasm, which would class the evidence of Christ's resurrection with the numerous stories that are extant of the apparitions of dead men. There are circumstances in the narrative, as it is preserved in our histories, which destroy this comparison entirely. It was not one person, but many, who saw him. They saw him not only separately but together, not only by night but by day, not at a distance but near, not once but several times. They not only saw him but touched him, conversed with him, ate with him, examined his person to satisfy their doubts. These particulars are decisive, but they stand, I do admit, upon the credit of our records. I would answer, therefore, the insinuation of enthusiasm by a circumstance which arises out of the nature of the thing, and the reality of which must be confessed by all who allow, what I believe is not denied, that the resurrection of Christ, whether true or false, was asserted by his disciples from the beginning, and that circumstance is the non-production of the dead body. It is related in the history, what indeed the story of the resurrection necessarily implies, that the corpse was missing out of the sepulchre. It is related also in the history that the Jews reported that the followers of Christ had stolen it away. And this account, though loaded with great improbabilities, such as the situation of the disciples, their fears for their own safety at the time, the unlikelihood of their expecting to succeed, the difficulty of actual success, and the inevitable consequence of detection and failure, was, nevertheless, the most credible account that could be given of the matter. But it proceeds entirely upon the supposition of fraud, as all the old objections did. What account can be given of the body upon the supposition of enthusiasm? It is impossible our Lord's followers could believe that he was risen from the dead if his corpse was lying before them. No enthusiasm ever reached to such a pitch of extravagancy as that. A spirit may be an illusion, a body is a real thing, an object of sense in which there can be no mistake. All accounts of specters leave the body in the grave. And although the body of Christ might be removed by fraud and for the purposes of fraud, yet without any such intention and by sincere but deluded men, which is the representation of the apostolic character we are now examining, no such attempt could be made. The presence and the absence of the dead body are alike inconsistent with the hypothesis of enthusiasm. For if present, it must have cured their enthusiasm at once. If absent, fraud, not enthusiasm, must have carried it away. And this saying, St. Matthew writes, is commonly reported amongst the Jews until this day. Chapter 28, verse 1. The evangelist may be thought good authority as to this point, even by those who do not admit his evidence in every other point, and this point is sufficient to prove that the body was missing. It has been rightly, I think, observed by Dr. Townshend, Dissents upon the Resdur Piens 12, that the story of the guards carried collusion upon the face of it. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Men in their circumstances would not have made such an acknowledgement of their negligence without previous assurances of protection and impunity. Plus, especially at the full moon, the city full of people, many probably passing the whole night, as Jesus and his disciples had done, in the open air, the sepulcher so near the city as to be now enclosed within the walls. Priestley on the Resur, page 2. But further, if we admit upon the concurrent testimony of all the histories, so much of the account as states that the religion of Jesus was set up at Jerusalem, and set up with asserting, in the very place in which he had been buried, and a few days after he had been buried, his resurrection out of the grave, it is evident that, if his body could have been found, the Jews would have produced it, as the shortest and completest answer possible to the whole story. The attempt of the apostles could not have survived this refutation a moment, if we also admit upon the authority of St. Matthew that the Jews were advertised of the expectation of Christ's followers, and that they had taken due precaution in consequence of this notice, and that the body was in marked and public custody, the observation receives more force still. For notwithstanding their precaution, and although thus prepared and forewarned, when the story of the resurrection of Christ came forth, as it immediately did, when it was publicly asserted by his disciples and made the ground and basis of their preaching in his name and collecting followers to his religion, the Jews had not the body to produce, but were obliged to meet the testimony of the apostles by an answer not containing indeed any impossibility in itself, but absolutely inconsistent with the supposition of their integrity. That is, in other words, inconsistent with the supposition which would resolve their conduct into enthusiasm.